Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. It's sunny out. Woohoo! Yeah, it's going to be a really, really nice weekend. You know, so if you're going to brave the beach, you know, right, go early. Joining us now by phone, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Follow them, and then Thursday nights you watch movies and talk about it. Also, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. All right, Julio, how good or not good, you tell me, was Little Mermaid?
According to the reviews, it's pretty okay. You're running 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has been a lot of praise for Halle Bailey's performance as Ariel, so that's nice to see. You know, some new songs from Lin-Manuel Miranda. You really can't go wrong with that,
right?
You know, it's a live action Disney remake. You know, there's what, like 20 of these now. So, you know, you kind of know what you're getting into with these. I feel like they're kind of critic proof.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, the only question is whether they'll alienate or offend the people who, of course, we all loved the originals growing up, and that's going to be the question. Is if you can basically pass that test without going too awry, it's probably going to be okay, as you say, at least okay. About My Father is another new one that's out this week. How's that look?
Yeah, this is the stand-up comedian Sebastian Maniscalco. I believe he co-wrote this, too, if I'm not mistaken. He is playing a man who is engaged to obviously an Italian, the son of an Italian immigrant. His dad's played by Robert De Niro on this. He's engaged to a very waspy woman who comes from a very wealthy family. And he and his father are invited to spend some time at their summer estate. And of course, this clash of cultures between the immigrant family and the classic, you know, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, that's the only thing I'm going to use to describe this as classic, because the reviews are just awful, which I'm not surprised, because the trailers are just awful. It's running like 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
When you can't even find a good 2 minutes to excerpt, that's bad news, right?
It's time for De Niro to stop with the comedy thing. It was cute for a while, but just beat Robert De Niro.
You talking about him? Are you talking about him?
I'm talking about him.
All right, fair enough.
I don't see anybody else here.
The Machine, how's this looking?
Speaking of stand-up comics, this is another stand-up comic venturing into movies. This is Bert Kreischer. If you know him, that is his nickname. He's The Machine. This is the comic who does all of his shows.
I saw him at the Sanger when he was in town, yeah.
Yeah. So this is, based on his story that he tells in his the Russian story.
Cool, okay.
Yeah, so you see that in flashback, and then in modern day he is playing himself. He is facing the repercussions of that story when people come after him for what happened in that story. He and his father get wrapped up in this, and his father is played by none other than Mark freaking Hamill. Yeah, so I don't know how that happened, but it did. There's no reviews on this. For some reason, they did not screen it for critics. The trailers do look pretty good. But,
so Luke
but
really no, is his father.
Apparently so.
All right. No, I wonder how that would work, because his bits are hilarious. I just don't know how well it translates. I guess
I think
we'll
it's going to depend on how much you like him as a comic. If you like him, you know the story, I think you're probably going to be down with
it. All right, so kind of rapid fire here because we're out of time, but You Hurt My Feelings?
This is the best reviews of the week, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
Stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus as half of a picture-perfect couple that's been together in years and are still madly in love. Then she finds out that he's been lying for years about what he thinks of her career. And so that causes relationship friction.
Interesting. Kandahar with Gerard Butler, standard action movie from Gerard Butler.
Basically, yeah. I mean, you know, I think he cranks about 12 of these out a year. So, you know, if you miss this one, don't worry. There's going to be another one in 5 minutes.
So he is the Liam Neeson presidential action movie of low quality representative. Okay, and then finally, my favorite title of the week, The Wrath of Becky.
Yeah, so this is actually a sequel to a film that I barely knew existed. It came out during the pandemic, so it didn't get much of a release, but it found an audience of video on demand. And that film, this was a 13-year-old girl who goes off to a cabin with her estranged father, and they're attacked by neo-Nazis. And this 13-year-old girl versus neo-Nazis. This film, this is the same actress back. She's 16 now, and she's attacked by, you know, she's recovered from all that, but then she once again finds herself attacked by, fascists of a name that might sound vaguely familiar, close to some other organization where certain people are going to jail for some conspiracy right now.
Okay, I got you. So, okay.
Yeah, the first one was very well received, got pretty decent reviews, and this one's getting all right reviews too. These are they're action, but they're also very gory horror.
Okay. Well, I'm probably out for that then. What are you going to watch next week?
Well, looking forward to this one, the sequel to the Academy Award-winning animated film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
We're doing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse next week, and I've been looking forward to this one for so long. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, one of the very, very interesting of all the Marvel movies. That one's certainly very different. Julio Diaz, he's the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio and the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. As always, Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Candy now has traffic for you.
Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway. It looks like there's a traffic light out, so use caution there, although as I understand, a little slow. There's a little bit of a line, but not too bad, but certainly watch out for that because that will tie things up a little later. There's another accident. This is on Highway 29 and Woodland Street in Cantomet. Not showing a roadblock, though. It doesn't look like anything is slowing down, and still watching that 18-wheeler, disabled 18-wheeler on the west side of the hump westbound. That's at the I-10 bridge. Right lane is closed. Help ECUA ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. And if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Transgressors is next.
There's something new at Pete Bohr Imports, and you need to experience it. The Volkswagen 2023 ID.4 EV is in stock and waiting for you to enjoy the smooth, quiet, and impressively powerful ride it offers. If you haven't experienced an EV yet, make sure you stop by and see how the Volkswagen ID.4 EV will absolutely impress even the most discerning drivers. And while you're at Pete Bohr Imports, check out the 2023 Taos S, now from $26,226, and the Tiguan S from $28,576, and both are available with a low APR rate of 1.9 for 36 months. The Atlas Cross Sport SE is in stock and priced from $36,161, and it's available with financing at 3.9% for 60 months. It's all new this month at Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Prices for tax, title, and associated dealer fees. APR rates for qualified credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, we must pronounce judgment against Olivia, a college student who went on TikTok to air what she thought was a grievance against a professor who gave her a zero for proposing a paper about transgender athletes using violent anti-transgender language.
I got a zero on a project proposal in my class because I used the term biological women, which is apparently not allowed anymore.
Olivia may act surprised, but frankly what surprises me is that with all the progress made to re-educate the American youth, there are any college students left who still make such errors.
She even said it was a good project proposal, but I got a zero because I used this term that's exclusionary and not allowed anymore, so...
Of course! When Olivia says biological woman, she's embracing the transphobic paradigm that gender is a birth fact rather than a belief fact. Luckily, she didn't commit this same word crime on the job or in some other real-world situation. College is precisely the place to diagnose, stifle, and eradicate such mistakes.
And I 100% know that this is like the most biased grade ever because my project is about transgenders competing in biological women's sports.
It's not bias, young person identified as a female at birth. It's a head fact. The very notion that she thinks there's a difference between transgender women and non-transgender women is the problem. Her frustration is born from her cognitive disorder of thinking there are different kinds of women when all women are just women regardless of whether they were born that way. Why doesn't she understand that womanhood is in the mind and not in the body? It's science, after all.
How am I supposed to do my final project if I can't use the word biological women? But that's what my project is about.
But this is the whole point. As the second of the 14 holy language justice warriors, Philippa Bernard, said in her 1994 homily at Seneca Falls, quote, "We must make the wrong beliefs unthinkable, and the way we make them unthinkable is by making them unspeakable. Take away the erroneous words, and you protect the misguided from forming the erroneous thoughts," end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. So long as miscreants like Olivia have access to the words that let them form the idea that some women are more real than others, they will continue to commit acts of linguistic hate. But do not worry. We will teach her until her heart bleeds like a true liberal. And in so doing, her example will inspire countless others to repent from the thought sins of their youth. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, you may recall that George Washington University made something of a stir last year when they boldly announced they were canceling their 96-year-old sports nickname of being the Colonials, a clearly unacceptable imperialist and oppressive namesake which no modern acolyte of the holy acronym string would ever embrace. And thus began a fervent search for a new moniker for the storied university in Washington, D.C. Well, now, just 1 year later, and after more than 8,000 suggestions, 47,000 points of feedback, 300 talking stick focus groups, 1,500 safe space group hugs, and just $14 million in well-spent American Rescue Plan funds, George Washington University has finally discovered its true identity.
We are dedicated to changing the world for the better. We are the GW Revolutionaries.
Now, if that doesn't inspire you, I really don't know what would. Yes, from now on, the George Washington Revolutionaries will take to the field and represent the anti-establishment spirit that birthed this country out from underneath British oppression.
Revolutionaries are bold. They embody creativity and passion. Revolutionaries are change makers. They're not content with the status quo.
We really love this new label, although we are somewhat uncomfortable with the fact that it seems to honor the white slavers who founded this country by oppressing Native Americans, Africans, and women. George will still remain as the official mascot, by the way. But still, this name shift opens the door to celebrating so many other fine revolutionaries who have resisted oppression throughout history. George Washington could have Mao Zedong Women's Volleyball Night. There could be Che Guevara tailgates for football season. Certainly, we look forward to the annual Fidel Castro Memorial Golf Tournament and charity fundraiser. And of course, GW could really honor the spirit of equity leaders Trotsky, Lenin, and Marx in the baseball stadium by putting the expensive seats in the outfield and the cheap, uncomfortable bleacher benches behind home plate to demonstrate their dedication to the proletariat. So yes, by all means, let us accept the name imposed on the student-athletes by the wealthy white alumni, the president, and the board of George Washington University, who certainly believe that the best way to honor the legacy of this fine 200-year-old institution is by praising the overthrow of institutional authority and adopting a name that pales in genius only when compared to that of the Washington Commanders or perhaps the Cleveland Guardians. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, Let us take a moment to honor the brave work being done by the United States Department of Agriculture to ban flavored milk in elementary and middle school cafeterias. The conclusions of the USDA's School Nutrition and Meal Cost Study are clear. Chocolate and strawberry-flavored milk represent half of the added sugars in school lunches and 30% of those in breakfasts. Thus, in an effort to combat childhood obesity and the dangerous trend toward children enjoying food, the USDA recommends censoring flavored milk so as to, quote, encourage consumption of fat-free or low-fat milk, end quote. Yes, if we can finally liberate young students from the tyranny of their tongues, they will eagerly force-feed themselves the unrefined chalky dirt water of flavor-free skim milk. Oh, skim milk. Now, we know some parents might argue that a product children won't drink at all is not very nutritious, but here we disagree. Precisely because we are trying to eliminate the love of sugary, salty, or otherwise tasty food, the best test of success is what percentage of that food is discarded into the trash pail because it is too awful to consume. When students are throwing away 50% of their meals, we will know we have found the Michelle Obama-certified correct mixture of nutrition and distaste. You see, our vision of the future state of radical equality for people around the world starts with our children learning to be satisfied with the vivid mediocrity of total taste equity. How better to teach them that life is boring, bland, and repetitive? The sooner our young proletarians internalize this lesson, the sooner they can embrace the limp love of low-expectation living, which is vital to our shared communal future devoid of happiness, pleasure, and joyful anything. No salt, no sugar, no ketchup, and now no chocolate or strawberry milk. Bean curd casserole, veggie spirals with a dollop of unsalted tomato paste, and, of course, think of the healthiness we can craft by so lowering their mouth preferences that a side dish of unseasoned boiled waxed beans seems like a delicacy. Now, sure, occasionally we will perhaps allow them a celebratory spritz of prune juice atop their tofu loaf, but only on special celebrations. This drive to make food insufferable provides a teachable moment to make them mindful of the sufferings of their comrades in classrooms across the world who never even get prune juice at all. Down with pleasure, up with equity, away with the flavored milk. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Che Guevara tailgate parties, really? Unrefined chalky dirt water. I mean, I've got a list. Unseasoned boiled wax beans.
Oh, I almost wanted to retch when I heard that part. 8:28.
What's wrong with you?
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway showing a light issue, as I understand. And I also, as I understand, not showing a problem. It's not too backed up, I guess, is what I'm saying. There is a disabled 18-wheeler in one of the lanes, it looks like, I-10 westbound, right over the bridge. And that's what that tie-up is this morning. It's moving. It's just moving real, real slow. And then another accident. This is on Highway 29 in Cantonment, Woodland Street in Cantonment. And again, the traffic light are down. Use caution in the area. And again, that's Gulf Beach Highway and Fairfield Drive. Caution wherever you are. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Got a text in from a friend who said, as a George Washington University alumna, I couldn't be more proud.
Great school, man.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hundreds of people attended a vigil in Minneapolis on the third anniversary of George Floyd's death. Speakers made continued calls for change and police reform. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz declared yesterday as George Floyd Remembrance Day. Court officials say testimony could begin as early as next Tuesday in the Tree of Life Capitol murder trial of Robert Bowers. Bowers charged with killing 11 worshipers at a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018. And imagine this. You're in an airplane coming in for a landing, and somebody opens the door.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw this.
Oh, goodness. A man apparently opened the door of an Asiana Airlines jet as it was coming in for a landing in South Korea. It says it happened today, so I guess early this morning, maybe. But sent wind gusting through the cabin as passengers were... Just imagine that, the wind gusting through the cabin, depressurizing.
Man.
The man was arrested, but he has not said why he did it, and a dozen people had to be taken to the hospital with minor injuries.
Well, I'm just glad nobody was hurt. Obviously, that's a pretty dangerous thing. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you are thinking about buying a home, especially if you're thinking about buying for the first time, you don't, I mean, Christina Leavenworth is an amazing asset to have in your corner, guiding you through that process, helping you make decisions, avoid the problems, and get the home that you really want. She'll save you money. I know. I wish I'd have had an agent like Christina Leavenworth when we bought our first home. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. This Memorial Day weekend has millions of Americans hitting the road.
We are well below $1 per gallon from where we were this time last year.
AAA Mid-Atlantic spokeswoman Jana Tidwell says road trips are still down a bit from pre-pandemic 2019, but air travel is the heaviest since 2005. The Texas House could vote as soon as today on impeaching Texas Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton.
A Republican-led Texas House Investigative Committee is recommending Paxton face impeachment on 20 articles, like bribery and abuse of public trust. The committee says those articles center on Paxton's alleged efforts to protect a donor from an FBI investigation, as well as attempts to block whistleblower complaints from his own staff.
Fox's Jill Nato, a Senate trial would follow a House impeachment vote with Paxton removed from office. In the meantime, he calls it overturning elections behind closed doors. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 65. It is mostly sunny in Pensacola. Just getting word that four people have been taken to the hospital after an early morning fire on Tippin Avenue today. Channel 3 reporting that fire crews were called to that fire in the 7600 block of Tippin just before 6 o'clock this morning. Multiple fire crews and ambulances were at the scene. Four people again taken to the hospital right now. No update on their conditions. A Pensacola man will serve 20 years in prison for causing a crash last July that killed a 56-year-old woman and injured her son. That crash happened July 7th on Massachusetts Avenue. 21-year-old Ladarian Wright was apparently fleeing from Escambia County deputies at more than 80 miles an hour. Ovetter Jenkins was killed in the crash. Just 2 months prior, Wright had also fled another traffic stop attempted by Escambia County deputies. In addition to that 20-year sentence, Wright had his driver's license indefinitely revoked. Today kicks off the massive LGBTQ weekend on Pensacola Beach. Escambia County beach workers are ready.
So we're set up. You know, we start this preparation a couple months in advance. And Pensacola Beach Public Works is just, you know, they always knock it out of the park. But we have our box truck down there, all the supplies at Park East. We have the layout all in place, and people are starting to show up.
And that is Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno. He says that they had a pretty good warm-up. The last couple weekends, they've seen over 23,000 cars headed onto the beach. Pensacola Beach Pride will primarily be set up at Park East. As many as 200,000 people from all over the country expected to be on hand. Santa Rosa County leaders awarding a $2.5 million contract for the construction of Taxiway B at the Peter Prince Airport. The low bidder was Panhandle Grading and Paving at $2.4 million, just a little bit more. Commissioner Sam Parker says Panhandle's a family-owned company with a track record of quality work, and they're fair with their pricing.
Are we being good stewards of tax dollars? In this case, I can tell you that if the bid would have been $500,000 more, we would have still accepted it as low bidder, but Panhandle Paving and Grading went above and beyond again, and this has been numerous times over the years that I've served on the board.
And he says in addition to taxiway reconstruction, they'll also be making lighting improvements. Both Santa Rosa County and FDOT have pledged just under $100,000 to the project. The remainder of the balance will be requested through FAA grants. Basketball star and broadcaster Shaquille O'Neal facing a class action lawsuit over the collapse of FTX. We get more from Brian Shook.
The New Jersey native was served Tuesday while he was broadcasting a Miami Heat-Boston Celtics playoff game in Miami. The complaint alleges O'Neal and other celebrities defrauded FTX investors by appearing in advertisements for the cryptocurrency company. O'Neal had allegedly been dodging the legal documents for months. I'm Brian Shook.
And now it is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Sure. Still watching the accident. It looks like a disabled 18-wheeler, I should say, on the west side of the hump. That's westbound on the I-10 bridge. That right lane's still closed. Traffic light is out at Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway. Imagine it'll start backing up soon. East Bay Boulevard and Navarre closed south of Copple Drive as they work on the ongoing improvement project. See an accident on Highway 29 in Woodland Street. That's in Cantonment, but not showing a roadblock this morning. And certainly if you have a traffic tip, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
A beautiful way to end the work week. We do have plenty of sunshine with temperatures around 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. Plenty of sunshine as we go into Memorial Day weekend. Sunshine for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Temperatures ranging from the low to mid 80s. Lows overnight in the 60s and 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 65 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Your money now this morning. Markets are opening up. The Dow up 85.29 at 32.849.94. S&P 500 up 11.53 at 41.62.81. And the NASDAQ up 60.07 at 12.758.16. Our 10-year bond rate this morning up just slightly at 3.83%. Gold prices are up a bit as well at $1,948.10. Silver prices at $23.26. There's still no deal to raise the nation's debt ceiling. Negotiators, though, going to be back at it today.
That's what House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters Thursday evening as he left the U.S. Capitol. He noted lawmakers had been going back and forth with the White House all day. McCarthy added he'll be working in Washington over the holiday weekend. In the midst of negotiations, President Biden said earlier on Thursday that he believes both sides will come to an agreement. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has repeatedly warned that the U.S. could go into default if the debt ceiling isn't raised by next week. I'm Mark Mayfield.
J.P. Morgan and Chase telling 1,000 First Republic Bank employees that they're being let go. That's just weeks after America's largest bank purchased the failed San Francisco lender. J.P. Morgan did say 85% of First Republic's workers will either get full-time or transitional roles. And more Americans say they're pessimistic about retirement. A Gallup poll finding 43% of people who have yet to retire expect that they'll live comfortably when they do. That's down from 48% last year and the lowest number ever in over a decade. Optimism about retirement had hit a high of 57% just before COVID back in 2019. 8:38, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News. Traffic on the fives. Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's 8:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And so in studio with me, I have a couple of friends. Jeremy Evans, who has been many times on the wrap and filled in for me and does great work, and he is with us. Jeremy, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
And you as well. And, I got to give you the thing I borrowed from you. Will forget if you don't remind me.
I will.
I had wanted to read Maus, the graphic novel about the Holocaust, And I had part one, and I didn't realize there were two parts, so I got done with one. I'm like, ah. And so I was asking, and he happened to have, so I brought, and it's fantastic. It's horrible, but it's really, really good at, you know, representing the Holocaust. Dee Dee Davis, also a repeat offender here on The Wrap. She is the owner of NAI Pensacola, former, former teacher, former state representative, former architect of the Pensacola City Charter, along with her good friend, Crystal Spencer. Dee Dee, welcome back.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Always good to have you. So first thing, let's start with this. The big news, of course, for us this week was that Governor DeSantis is finally presidential candidate. DeSantis. He actually took the FL out of his Twitter handle. It's now just, you know, at Ron DeSantis instead of at Ron DeSantis FL. Same for Casey. Same thing. So let's start with you, Jeremy, as a guy who's pretty involved in the Republican Party here locally and, you know, statewide. Your thoughts about the rollout, the one-hour conversation, the Twitter botching, the Trump versus DeSantis of it all, your thoughts?
So I think this is the beginning of what's going to be, like I've kind of called it, the most intense kind of spring football game the Republican Party has ever had. As you talk to Trump and DeSantis, and there's a lot of things that I think people have overlooked in the DeSantis rollout. Was the Twitter conversation exactly the way he wanted it to? No. But look at his endorsements list in Iowa and New Hampshire. That's where he has focused all of his time and his energy getting ready.
Say more about that, because I read about this yesterday, and it's interesting because, I mean, tell people, like, because they don't take for granted. The early primary and caucus states.
It's going to be, I think January, you've got Iowa. February, you have New Hampshire. Iowa is its own weird caucus structure. New Hampshire is a very small state primary. And Governor DeSantis has very strong endorsements in state legislatures, counties, and it is campaigning on the smallest level. You know, I think it's tradition. It's probably a tradition that needs to go because Iowa and New Hampshire weed out so many candidates and they're very, very, very unique campaign primary styles. But the Governor DeSantis and his team have really focused in on that. I think President Trump has been throwing haymakers at DeSantis for months now. It'll be interesting to see how hard Governor DeSantis did a little bit yesterday back at President Trump.
Right, right.
It'll
for
be
the
interesting
first time.
To see for the first time. It'll be interesting to see how that continues to happen. You know, and then we have kind of split allegiances here. Our Congressman Matt Gaetz is obviously one of Donald Trump's top lieutenants, and then I'm pretty sure that I saw both Broxson, Andrade.
And Michelle Salzman.
And Salzman all siding with the governor in the situation. And so I think it's going to be – and then the other part of this that's going to be all new is none of these conversations, none of this political conversations, none of it's going to happen on the Sunday morning talk shows. It's all going to happen on the new media that most people haven't heard of this show or that show or whatever because it's all the new media because, you know, the mainstream media nobody trusts. And so it'll be very interesting to see how the campaigning happens because they're all going to be talking and presenting ideas via the new media versus the traditional media. And so it's going to be a whole new campaign, whole new way of doing things. And just from the political scientist point of view, it's going to be very interesting to watch.
I'm very curious to see what the size of the rallies are for both of them.
Yeah.
Especially when they're kind of against each other right now. Dee Dee, now you're a registered Democrat, right?
I am.
Which, by the way, we'll get to this later, but and we're still friends. and I think you're a fantastic contributor to the show and to the charter conversations and everything else. I love having you on because you know so much. So I take the opposite view from Commissioner James Caulkins. We'll get to that later. But as a Democrat, what do you see of this?
Well, first of all, I didn't think that his announcement was the biggest news of the week. I thought the biggest news yesterday was Tina Turner's passing.
Okay, fair enough.
I was far more interested in all of the tributes and everything that were paid to her than to the governor, who had the longest announcement rollout possibly in the history of announcements. I'm not really sure.
Especially if you count the time when it wasn't happening yet.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not really sure. Yeah, he's raising a ton of money, and his numbers are like still, you know, pretty much in the toilet at this point. But I, you know, you can't underestimate him. He's a very smart guy. I wouldn't be one bit surprised, you know, watching the fur fly between Trump and DeSantis if they didn't kiss and make up and make a team. And I don't think DeSantis can win without him. And I just wouldn't be one bit surprised if we didn't see them team up.
Well, the problem, like, constitutionally, is they can't both be on the ticket together, both being Florida residents. So we've got that challenge. So what would a team look like, you know, exactly? But I'm with you. There's a weird sense, like, the only happy ending here would be somehow a partnership. But it's hard to see that how that could happen at this point. Because I'm with you, Jeremy. Even for about a month now, Trump has been like every word out of his keyboard has been how stupid, incompetent, terrible, whatever DeSantis is. It's like I get 8 emails a day from his campaign about him. And I really wonder about the plausibility of winning in the primary system. I want to talk about that when we come back. But I do need to get a quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
This is brought to you by Coastal Machinery, and it looks like the delays that we're seeing, we're still watching that, a disabled 18-wheeler on the west side of the hump westbound on the I-10 bridge. That right lane is closed, still moving, just moving very slow, and traffic light out, and we're getting word that that whole area doesn't have power. That's at Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway. That's brought to you by Coastal Machinery Company with over 40 years in the business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So my take on the general election is I don't think there's any chance Trump can beat Biden, and I don't think there's any chance that Biden can beat DeSantis. So I'm favoring DeSantis because I want to win the general election and because, I prefer him. But I don't see how he wins the primary either, because all Trump has to do is get a plurality large enough. And if you've got 10 other or 15 other candidates in the field, I don't see how DeSantis gets to, you know, Trump plus anything. And that's the challenge I have believing in the wisdom of all of this. At this point, Jeremy?
So the first thing I'd say is when people were sitting in rooms similar to this one in 2015, it was pretty obvious Jeb Bush was going to win the presidential nomination
in
2016.
That's fair.
And Donald Trump was barely a blip on the radar at this point in the cycle. With that being said, we're in a different political environment, and I think that the reason why Governor DeSantis is investing so heavily in Iowa and New Hampshire is, let's say he wins one of those two states, and then he gets more, you get those momentum in those early states, and somebody can catch fire, and you come out ahead in one of those two things, you can kind of come out of nowhere. Not necessarily out of nowhere, but Hillary Clinton was going to obviously win over Barack Obama.
Right.
And that didn't happen because of early performance, and then people see what they're going to get. And I think that there are a large portion of voters. There's nobody who's indifferent on Donald Trump.
Right.
Everybody has a
very polarizing
definite
That's
opinion
right.
on Donald Trump. There are lots of people outside of the state of Florida who don't necessarily know Ron DeSantis to have an opinion on him yet.
Right.
So how does he take that money and how does he utilize it to do what he's going to try to do with it? And then who knows what happens with Tim Scott? Who knows what happens with
Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson,
and
Chris
Sununu,
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who know? Like, you have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen with those guys, but there's people like Pete Buttigieg who got the limelight for a second, couldn't capitalize on it. So you never really know what's going to happen. And to say that it's Trump versus DeSantis may be slightly premature.
Yeah, right.
But that looks like that would be your betting favorite moving forward and what happens.
Didi, again,
money talks. Yeah. Money talks. And if he's really raising that kind of money in 24 hours after an announcement, you cannot underestimate the power that carries.
Yeah, that's fair. And a lot of these hedge fund guys, and you've seen them come out and say that we supported Trump last time and we're not supporting him this time around. So a long time to go between now and then. I'm just kind of curious. I'm very curious, obviously, how this all shakes out. I mentioned it a moment ago, but yesterday we had kind of moments with James Calkins, the commissioner in Santa Rosa County, where he came out against an appointment to the Marine Advisory Committee from somebody who is like a marine biologist and an oyster fisherman. And he said, I will not vote for her because she's a Democrat, because Democrats are evil. Democrats are infecting and they're infiltrating every element of our society. We got to stop those Democrats. And I'm thinking, this is good. I got my good friend Dede Davis, a Democrat, who's coming in here. this is crazy to me that we would get to the place where anybody would think the right answer is never anybody from the other party for any position of any kind within the local government.
I think there are plenty of people that feel that way. Absolutely. I don't think that's uncommon. I just think that he's more vocal and looks a little nutty, in my opinion. I mean, going back from the I love Russia, you know, the
yeah,
those days in the his wife's campaign for the state house. You know, he's been successful by being outrageous, and I think that, you know, he's trying to pattern himself after a Donald Trump, and he's certainly no Donald Trump, but by being outrageous, I think that he feels that that wins him support. So we'll see, you know, the electors will speak.
You know, and I guess this is fair to admit, there absolutely are people in Santa Rosa County who will hear him say that and be like, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Like
that's you're damn right we're not ever putting
everywhere.
A Democrat anywhere.
And it works both ways.
Yeah, right.
It absolutely works both ways. And I, you know, that's why we always get along so well, Andrew, because I love having a conversation with someone who will sit and actually intellectually discuss an issue rather than doing like the Calkins grandstanding, you know, no Democrats ever. And, you know, they're so evil. Well, you know, talk to me. What is it?
What right.
is it? You've got this really qualified biologist for this position, and because of her political registration, you would shut her down? That's just silly.
It's bizarre and silly, and yet, as you say, there are a number of people who view it that way, and again, from both sides.
And I think that elections matter, and I think that when you look at, if you had told me, can you believe what Sam Parker did yesterday at the Santa Rosa you know, county commission meeting when he was grandstanding about that issue, I would be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me it's James Calkins. I'm sure when you read it was James Calkins, it wasn't anything that was, you could see that happening in a world.
Yeah, it didn't come as a, oh, wow, how did he get out of character like
who,
that?
That's who James Calkins is. It's always who he has been. He has never not been that person. The people of Santa Rosa County chose to have him be that person. And as he continues to be that person, he is being the person he was elected as. It was not as though he was one way in a campaign and then turned into a different person. That's who James Calkins is. And if the people of Santa Rosa County voted that person in and he continues to be that person, that's who they voted into office. And
I would say it just a little different, but I agree with you. I think this is purposeful. I think he knows that he's going to get, you know, outrage, and he's going to get coverage, and Channel 3 has been running the clips all morning, and we've talked about it, and that is clearly advertising for Brand Calkins.
Yeah.
The difference is, I think, that a lot of people voted him in the first time around, either on a lark or, you know, for not really well-thought-out reasons, maybe, and they have seen what's happened since, and there's a never again will we do this yeah. kind of sentiment. And, of course, we'll find out. We'll find out in the election, you know, how strong which of those is,
yeah.
you know. So one of the other big things that has happened, not this week per se, but it's kind of ongoing, is the tumult in the school board with the superintendent. We're now through graduations for Escambia County. I think Santa Rosa has one tomorrow. And we just talked to Karen Barber, the superintendent, earlier this morning. But in Escambia County, good Lord. I mean, it just, I hate to say this about my home county, but it just feels like, you know, here, carry this glass of water from the tap over to the table. And, you know, in the process, 13 people got killed with shards of glass. Like, it's like nothing can go right is how it feels with the school board.
You know, periodically, we get one of these volatile school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And we, God knows, we have plenty of issues right now giving them fodder anyway.
Right.
The whole political climate. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater by firing the first appointed superintendent is probably one of the worst moves I've ever seen made by our school board. They're equal partners in all of this. So if they're blaming like the failure of Warrington Middle School, if they're planting that squarely on his shoulders, they've got plenty of blame in there too.
That's a 10-year problem.
They're making him a scapegoat, trying to divert the real discussion here that needs to take place. Plenty of blame to go around, but I think it was a huge mistake firing him.
See, I kind of sympathize with the people who have said, well, this is what we get when we vote for an appointed superintendent, is they're actually exerting their power. I just had a problem with the way that it was done is what I particularly didn't. There's a lot of people who wanted to see Tim Smith go. There's a lot of people who did not want to see him go. It's a very split thing.
I mean, I personally understand the sentiment that it was a problem he inherited. Mm-hmm. I do think there was a lot of complete leadership failures on his part. What was going on in Warrington Middle School, the possibility of the school being shut down was extended multiple times, and the fact that they got to the 11th hour without a plan.
I think they got to 1 a.m.
Yeah, I mean they got
we were past the deadline.
There was no force. When he was coming in, he knew Warrington Middle was the problem. And to be fair, the elected superintendent did not do anything, or his attempts to solve the Warrington Middle School problem failed.
Didn't work.
And
right.
And then Tim Smith inherited this, and it's been 3 years that he's been around with no solution. No, and then to get to 1 a.m. and not have a solution is a pretty large failure in executive leadership. And I think that when you read he gave like kind of an exit interview with Pensacola News Journal earlier this week, and the reasons why he talked about it didn't work are the same reasons that every school board in throughout the state of Florida are struggling with things, you know, uninvolved parents,
right,
student absenteeism, teacher shortages. And you talk to somebody at the State Board of Education, they know Warrington Middle School. They know the ins and outs of Warrington Middle School because it's the only school in the entire state they have to discuss at every school board meeting back and back.
Yeah.
And so it is not... While it is fair to say he did not get much of an opportunity, he had 3 years to try to come up with a plan, and at the end of the day, he should have started negotiating with charter schools 18 months ago as plan B, and had plan C and plan D, and they had no plan. And I think that is where, like, take the books and take the other stuff out of it. I do think there was an extreme failure of leadership on his part to get to this point and not have an idea.
And I think certainly one of the things that handicapped him along the way is he just doesn't have a forceful presence. You know, he doesn't, you know, whatever you think about their job as superintendent, Malcolm Thomas was always, you know, the leader, right? And Karen Barber is the leader. And, you know, Tim Rosdick was the leader. And, like, Tim Smith never had that presence as a communicator. And so I think that handicapped him from people's perception a lot, regardless of whether that has anything to do with his ability to be superintendent. Let's get a quick break. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, traffic light out and getting word that the whole area doesn't have power at Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway, but I believe there's an officer there directing traffic. So it's moving pretty quickly. Unlike I-10 westbound, still a disabled 18-wheeler on the west side of the hump, westbound on the I-10 bridge. That right lane's still closed. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Since you're a teacher, I'll ask, or were a teacher for quite a long. You taught, you taught in Huntsville in an inner city school, in a black school. You taught in Oklahoma?
Nevada
at an Indian reservation.
Correct.
And then you taught at Gulf Breeze High.
That's correct.
So you've seen some variety.
I've seen it all. That's right. high school for 26 years. You see a lot.
So what's kind of, Didi, what's your perspective on the changes that have been going on in laws regarding high school, the books, the curriculum, the certifications, the civics test, whatever you want to tackle? Have at it.
I don't think we're focusing on the right issues. I think, you know, this is cherry picking. And you're always going to have people that are going to we've had these arguments about books and libraries. Get more involved, you know, but one parent complaining about a book, it's silly. Get more involved with the schools. I think that what we need to do is to focus more on the causes of a lot of the problems that we see there. Poverty, mm-hmm. hunger. You know, the real problems that are affecting the schools, and no one wants to tackle them. They're difficult issues.
And I will say this, it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. I appreciate that the PNJ has been putting some stuff out on it. I think WEAR as well, we talked about a little bit. But the dads program at Pine Forest High has made a huge difference. The discipline issues have, I won't say evaporated, but dramatically gone down. You just don't hear the stories like you used to hear all the time. You know, getting some dads on campus, being a presence as a mentor, I mean, that's worked. Let's do that a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are big problems. To me, Warrington Middle is a vital issue for our community, not only because it's a middle school, not only because it's our students, but it's the middle school that all of our naval sailors feed into. And when you start getting
If they don't choice out, which they do.
If they don't choice out, but right. It is the one where when you come around to a BRAC or whatever they're calling it now, military quality of life is one of their highest rating things when they start deciding what we're going to shut down.
Yep.
And so Warrington Middle is different than Ransom Middle School to what it means to our greater community. And to ignore the problem because it's too hard to talk about, we don't have the option to do so. And so we need a good solution on what happens there.
And, you know, what all of the folks are saying, Tim Kinsella says it, you know, Mike Kohler says it, is you cannot assume the base and all of the pretty pieces of it that we appreciate now that we finally got it back open again, including the Blue Angels, will just be there forever because they've always been there. You have to continually earn and justify that. Jeremy Evans, Dee Dee Davis, thank you as always. You guys are great.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.